Thank you, TJ. It's always a privilege and an honor to be able to open God's Word and share it. Just such a blessing. I was blessed just a moment ago as TJ was telling about the founding of the IFCA. One of the founders of the IFC was my pastor, under whom I was saved. And I just thank God for that, and that we're still able to fellowship with people like that. But it's good to be here today, and we sure are praying for Pastor as he's not feeling well. I was talking to Kimberly a little while ago when we first got here, and looking back over our years in the ministry, I said, we've had a few of those quick calls to somebody that could help us, and we sure thank God for them. But it does happen, and one Sunday morning, I was preaching about halfway through the message. I'd had a backache, and I had a kidney stone move while I was preaching. And the next thing I knew, they were lifting me off the floor. Didn't remember falling over, hitting the floor or anything, just boom, there it was. And I really don't remember what they did at the end of the service, but I think that was the end. But what a great God we have to raise us up. And there's another blessing today I hope that I can share with you just before we get started. My father was born in February and died in February, 3 hours after his 87th birthday. And in this month, I remember that a lot. But in his later years, his eyes weren't as good and so forth. And Nancy and I bought him a Bible that had larger print in it. And today, just in honor of my father and his remembrance, I'm using this Bible for it too. In fact, it's got nice big print, and I'm finding I need that now too. But to hold my father's Bible in my hand and then to use it for the message, in his later years, he wasn't able to read a lot. He had had a lot of heart trouble and so forth, and we got him this Bible, and one day he said, Ralph, I've read every word in it. He'd completed it all the way through. And so that was a special privilege and a blessing. And I am blessed today, too, as we see how God works these things together. The scripture that was on the, or it is still, Psalm 42, happens to be right where we are. And isn't it amazing how God dovetails those things together? And so if you would please turn to Psalm 42, and we're going to speak from that passage of Scripture today. Let's bow and just ask God to touch our hearts and to bless us as we are here together. Father, we thank you today that we have the privilege, so undeserved, to come into this place and to call you our Heavenly Father, to call your only begotten Son, Jesus, our Lord, and for the child of God to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God so that we are never comfortless. Lord, we just can't thank you sufficiently for that. But Lord, today, take our feeble efforts and bless our hearts, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 42 is the first chapter of what we call the second book that is in Psalms, several divisions, but this one is such a special psalm. I want to point out that there are several mentions in this psalm and the next one of a question, and we're going to look at that question. It'll be found three times in the chapters, but we're just going to read the first five verses for now. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continue to say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Please notice that last line, for the help of His countenance. Please turn to verse 11, the last verse of the chapter, and that question that he asks himself is repeated again. Notice the last line, and we compare it to the last line of verse 5. It talked about the help of His countenance, and in this one it says, the help of my countenance and my God. And if you look in chapter 43, verse 5, the last phrase there also is, the help of my confidence and my God. The tense changes in those verses. And it's a very interesting situation there. But we find here that the topic is when to talk to ourselves about God. You ever been around someone that sometimes talks to themselves? I used to think when I was younger that old people talk to themselves, and I never could understand why. And now I'm an old people, and I find that I talk to myself. And I can tell you, and I hope this isn't breaking too much confidence, but so does my wife. And Nancy talks so quietly that these old deaf ears don't catch all of it like I wish that they could. And I'll say, what? And she'll say, oh, I'm just talking to myself. And I say, oh, okay. But we see that David is talking wisely to himself. And as we look in the book of Psalms, we find that there is much there that can stir our emotions. The Psalms are so like us, and we are so like the Psalms. And here we notice that he speaks in a way that meets us in our despair. Sometimes it seems that all hope is gone, but God still meets us there. And the Psalms can lift us on wings of praise. They can give us songs to sing in the night. Ever awakened in the night with a troublesome thing on your mind and on your heart, and you can just voice the words of a precious song? A little later on, we're going to be using one of those great precious songs, Great is Thy Faithfulness. What a God we have. He's not a dead God. He is the only living God, the giver of salvation, the giver of life, the helper in life, the healer, the companion. Oh, who wouldn't love a God like this? What a great God we have. And this text here finds David speaking to himself. It's like he was two people. He asks the question of himself, and then he answers it. Is that what they call being beside yourself? I thought I was beside myself the other day. I parked at Walmart's parking lot, and I was so tickled I got a parking spot right up, first one right out from the door. I came out, and there were two cars just identical, ours and another one. And I was glad that we had put a license plate on our car for my wife. It says, Yes, Nan, because Nancy will get into any car that's our color. And I glanced down at it, and I was reminded which one was ours. So, honey, I got benefit out of that investment as well. But, folks, David is speaking here. He's having a discussion with himself. And there are times when that's very important. It's helpful. So, young people, don't think that the old people have gone silly. You'll find yourself doing it too someday. And I found that it started earlier than I thought it would. But people, we find that self-talk sometimes is just what we need. Just exactly what we need. And there are times that we need to talk to ourselves. And I find that one of those times is when we're discouraged. Christians sometimes can get discouraged. Events happen. Things occur. We have difficulties that come up. We go through times of discouragement. Poor health robs us of our strength. We listed several today that we're praying for that have health issues. And that, frankly, can be rather discouraging. You try to do something that you have always done, and I hope that I am learning to not say that I can't do it, which sometimes is interpreted I won't, but now I've been trying to say I am no longer able to do that, even though I want to. I see some nodding heads. I'm among friends. But people, that's where David is. He's finding that he's in a time, he's gone through times of discouragement. Poor health can rob us of our joy and so forth. Many, many people today in the world that we live in are going through economic woes, not just as a country, but individuals. Most of us know someone that has lost a job or has had difficulties, and economically they're hurting. Income is low and bills are high, and sometimes the car will break down or your truck, brother. Something will go wrong, and it just doesn't let life go as planned, and you say, Lord, will it ever end? Will it ever end? I remember times when we were in Bible college and seminary, and sometimes I'd open my wallet and I'd say, well, honey, what do we need from the grocery store that I can get for $2 or $3? Now, by the way, that many years ago, $2 or $3 bought more than it does today. Fact is, when Nancy and I got married, you young folks may find this a little amazing, but when Nancy and I got married just shy of 50 years ago now, we could not eat $20 worth of food in a week's time. You just couldn't eat that much. And now, well, a sack costs more than that, and it's one of those plastic sacks. You can't put as much in them. But, beloved, there's a time when we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And if we look there in chapter 42 and verse 5, it says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Valid questions. And he says, there's got to be a reason for it. Dreams have been dashed. Dreams have not turned out the way you want it. Family and friends disappoint us. Or we disappoint them. And all kinds of things can happen to us. And David, Charles Spurgeon says that David was scolding David out of the dumps. And that's a good way to put it, isn't it? David was scolding David. And he was not doing it in anger. He was doing it in encouraging correction. He was trying to get him up and going again, and he was getting himself up and going. What are we doing living under the circumstances? You ever heard somebody say, well, I'm doing pretty well for the circumstances I'm in, or doing good under the circumstances? And sometimes those circumstances get rather heavy, don't they? But have we forgotten the promise of God? Many people, most perhaps with any years on them as a Christian, can quote Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for them, to the good for them that are the called according to His purpose. And sometimes it's a challenge to find that good, is it not? But yet we need to fall on our face before God and say, oh God, I want my discouraged heart to be lifted up. Lord, speak to me personally. Let us be careful that we don't doubt God's love. You're familiar with Romans chapter 8. Pastors mentioned it several times recently, and it talks about who can separate us from the love of God, and then it goes through a whole list of things that cannot do it. So take heart, dear soul. Take heart. Because as this says in chapter 42, verse 5, in the middle of that verse, hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Now, I pointed out earlier that the three endings to that verse, even though everything else in the verse is the same, notice, though, in this first mention in Psalm 42 in verse 5, it says, hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Don't you just get a blessing when you come to maybe to the Lord's house here and you see someone, you've maybe had a rough week. Maybe you have some aches and pains that you almost had a discussion with yourself and say, can I really come today? And you get here and someone meets you at the door and they have a bulletin in their hand and they open the door for you and they say, good morning, and they call you by name, they shake your hand, and then they give you a bulletin, and they say, it's so good to see you today. I am glad that you're here. And they've got a great big Whitneyville Bible Church smile on their face, and you look at it, and their countenance lifts you up. Don't you love that when that happens? I appreciate it. And, beloved, we can talk with ourself and say, soul, lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. And we can talk with ourselves about God and how He can encourage a discouraged heart. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I love it when we sing those songs that just bless you right down in your heart. Not just singing them from our lips, but sing them from the heart. I appreciated Kathy playing that on the piano today with those words that come across the screen. I like that, don't you? You can realize, and then they put the expression in it as well, and you can pick that up. David says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you so disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Most of you folks our age have grandkids. We have 15 of them. And our youngest one is a little girl. And little Jana is a lot of fun to watch. We don't see them often. They're quite a ways away. And so we Skype. I think I got that word right, didn't I? Some of you that know what it is. We set our computer up and we stand in front of it and they've got theirs and they're sitting in front of it and we watch them back and forth. And when Jana was, she's learning to walk. And she actually can do it better than she thinks she can, but she's got two brothers that wait on her all the time, so she doesn't have to do it quite as much. But the other day she was walking and we could notice that our daughter's face was, come on, honey, you can do it. She wasn't saying anything to her, but the look on our daughter's face when she was watching Jana was, you can do it. Jana looked up at her mommy and did it. And folks, David says, my soul can hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. How many times as a kid did you look at your parents' face and they didn't have to say anything to you? I was at Walmart the other day, the same time that I told you I saw the car like ours, and I was in the milk and juice aisle, had to pick up something there. And this young mom, I had heard her talking with another lady, and she said they had just adopted this little girl. I think she was about a year and a half, maybe 2 years old. And they had adopted this little girl, and this mom was not used to having a kid in a store. She's pushing the cart. I know she wasn't used to it because every time she got to a shelf, she was about this far from it. And she could just pick it up and set it down in the cart. But that little girl liked that too because... And her mother looked at her and went, put that back. Now. And I noticed just shortly after that, she had caught on a little bit, and she had it parked in the center of the aisle. Now, that's an improvement for the conduct of the child, but then everybody that's trying to go either way in those aisles is waiting. Looked like 131 out there by Wayland when the snow's blowing hard. But people, we can look up to the Lord in our spirit with His Spirit, and He can encourage us. We need to talk with the Lord, to ourselves about the Lord, when we are discouraged. We may need to talk to ourselves about the Lord when we're upset. Notice it says, "Why art thou disquieted within me?" Disquieted means that your peace is gone. Things are stirred up. You're unnerved. There's apprehension. There's sorrow. There may be all kinds of things, fear, whatever. But you're out of sorts. Did you ever notice that when you're upset, sometimes you don't always respond faithfully? Sometimes it's faithlessly. And that's not what we want to do. That's not the joy that we want to, or that's not the temperament that we want to put out for someone. We want to be faithful, not faithless. So we may need to talk to ourselves when things seem to be upsetting us. And I found several illustrations in the Word of God of people that you and I know well from studying the Scripture over the years. How about Jacob? He thought everything was against him. You know the story how the famine had come and they had had to, he sent them, his sons down to Egypt and was trying to get food. And of course, unbeknownst to them, Joseph was the chief officer of the nation of Egypt. And you know the story, Pastor spoke on it a while ago about how they had put the food, the grain in their sacks. And somebody tell me that you were listening when Pastor taught that. What was in the sacks when they got out just a little ways from the king's supply house? What was in the sacks yet? Their money. Their cup and their money. And what did that look like? Looked like they'd stolen the stuff. And Jacob was completely flummoxed by all that, and he thought the whole world was against him. Ever felt that way? That's when we need to talk to ourselves about God. He was really upset. How about when Elijah heard that Jezebel was after him? God, you might as well kill me. She's going to anyway. I heard an old preacher one time when everybody was looking rather dour and sour when he was speaking on that, and he said, and Elijah said, "God, you might as well kill me and save her the work." And there was one old fellow in our church, his name was Floyd Van Tiflin, and he always sat just with that sour look on his face. And it was the first time in my life that I ever saw him crack a little bit of an emotional grin when Pastor Katie said that. But people, when you are really upset, you do some unwise things, some unfaithful things. May God speak to our hearts. Job wished he hadn't been born. You remember when his troubles first finished caving in on him, that his friends came to him and they stayed with him a whole week and never said a word. He thought it wasn't worth it anymore. Why was I born? Or how about the disciples in the boat when Jesus was sound asleep in the back of the boat? Can you imagine the audacity of that? Jesus is the one that said, "Let's go to the other side." They're doing it for him. And then he falls asleep during the storm. Why? What's the matter? Why is he sleeping in the back of the boat? That wasn't really a good thing to think about Jesus, was it? It was an unfaithful response. So we need to talk to ourselves about the Lord when we're upset. But distress should remind us that God's grace is sufficient. The Apostle Paul found that out, didn't he? If you were to look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll find it there where Paul was talking about this thorn in the flesh to buffet him. And he had said, "Oh God," many times, "just Lord, if you could just take it. Take it. Take it away from me." And God says, My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That's when we talk to ourselves about God. Amen? That's when we need to say, Lord, I need your help. I need you to give me strength. I need you to lift me up. And another quote of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he said, grace swims to our aid, though the waves roar and are troubled. I watched a documentary on rescue swimmers. The Coast Guard has that service that they do along the shores of our nation. And some of you remember a few months back, it was about Alaska where the Coast Guard was doing those things. And there was a rescue swimmer, and because of the ship that they were trying to get somebody off from, they had to lower the rescue swimmer down away from the ship. And I was amazed at the training and the strength that they had. And that swimmer made it over to the vessel and got that person, got that loop around them, and got them into a position where they could lift them safely. And the rescue swimmer swam through the waves, just like God's grace comes to us in the storm. Who wouldn't love a God like this? What a great God. Another time we need to talk to ourselves about God is when we are reminded of God's faithfulness. The incident with the lost ring of keys. Wonderful illustration. May I be personal and tell you one that happened to us yesterday? This time of year, it's tax time. And we have a man that does ours. He's served us for over 30 years now. And yesterday was the day that I needed to put everything through the computer by the internet to his, so that when I go Tuesday, I've got all of the stuff ready. You know what I mean. And I was born too soon to know how to work computers. And I just don't understand computers. And they sent us Gary is his name, and he sent me a snail mail letter with instructions in it. And I was to turn on my computer, and you know all of those things. You guys do it so easy that it's disgusting. But anyway, I was reading the instructions, and it said, use this for your username, and then there was a place that I was supposed to put that. He'd even had it kind of drawn out for me. And then he said, put your password here. It's the same password you used last year. I can't remember my password from 1 month to the next, let alone last year. And I went to our box where we keep our records, and I looked through it, and I'm saying, God, you've got to make these old eyes see what I don't know I'm supposed to look for. I don't remember what that password is. I don't remember where I put it. And I just stopped and said, God, I need your help. And it's probably the wrong thing to do, but I have a little book, and I've got some passwords in there, and I try to keep it secure, and I'm not going to tell you where it's at, because it wouldn't do you any good anyway. I've forgotten what title, which count they're for. But I looked, and there on one of those little yellow sticky notes was something that made sense to me, but not to anybody else. And it was the same username that he had prompted me with the first three letters of. And a light went on. I think God just turned on the light. And I looked, and there was my password. And it's a strange way to have a password, but it was it. And I called Nancy in the other end of the house, and I said, God just answered my prayer. I think I've got it. And I'm trying to hunt and peck and type that into the computer. And I hit, what is it, enter, I think is what I try to click. And all at once the screen did a couple things, and it said, D.A. Rainsberger Company. And all of these little boxes that he said would be there came up on the screen. And I'm telling you what, I was having myself one of those Baptist praise times or something. because God gave me something to rejoice in. Now, you may think I'm a little bit overdoing it on how illiterate I am on computer. Ask my wife. She's my go-to person on computer, and she's not a genius on computer either, but she sure shines above me. People, we need to talk to ourselves about God when we're reminded of His faithfulness. He's faithful to give us hope in a time of tears. He's faithful to give us hope at a time when our children grow up and move away. Paul and Ann, I could relate to it when, Paul, you were saying about that song was the one that your daughter and son-in-law chose for their commissioning service. As we watched our kids go, our oldest son went into the Marines and fought in Desert Storm, right in the middle of the mess. Our oldest daughter spent many years as a quadriplegic, and God has helped her now. She's able to be independent on her own, drives her own car now, has her own home. Still crippled, but able to do a lot of things. And I remember the day we took her to college. She was in a wheelchair. And you wonder, how are they going to get around to campus? And then she called us a couple days later and she said, I found a friend that has a schedule almost identical to mine and takes me everywhere I need to go. Isn't God good? We talked to ourselves and said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a blessing. We need to talk to ourselves about God. And over in the book of Lamentations, just turn there with me for a minute. If you can find Isaiah and Jeremiah, Lamentations right after Jeremiah. But in Lamentations 3, it says in verse 22, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in Him. Sounds a lot like what David said, doesn't it, in Psalm 43. The last of those three verses that are just alike. And folks, today we can rejoice that God is faithful. God is always up to the occasion. No matter what it is, our God is able. What a joy it is. If you know the Lord is your Savior today, you have someone to go to, someone to rejoice with. If you're here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior, we would encourage you, open your heart to Him. The Word of God says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. In Romans it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We need to confess our sin and trust in Christ Jesus. Be a great day to do that if you've never done it. We'd be delighted to help you and many of these others as well. But today, folks, I really want to encourage us to just, with heartfelt gratitude, say, Lord, great is Your faithfulness. Heavenly Father, we thank You today that You love us so very, very much. When we cry out in the flesh, oh, my soul, oh, what is going on? What's gone wrong? Why is this or that happening? But Lord, when we talk to ourselves about You, we look up to You for the joy of Your countenance. We think about the joy of our salvation. We think about the joy of Your companionship. And we think about the joy of having gone to make a place for us than if where you've gone to make a place for us, you'll come back and take us back with you so that where you are, we can be also. Lord, you are so faithful. We pray, Lord, for each one today with the individual needs that we all have. And Lord, that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit, and we'd be drawn unto you. We'd rejoice. We'd have faith. We'd be encouraged. We would sense your grace. Lord, we owe it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen.